Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, man, another Friday has rolled around on us all of a sudden. Michelle's all wound up getting ready for her Warrior Woman weekend up here at Sky High. It's going to be good. Betty Perkins rolled in yesterday, been helping Michelle, getting everything ready. Michelle's tickled pink for all of you that can make it. Looking forward to that. What do you want to talk about today? What do you want to talk about? You know, I come down here every day and I got a plan and a program laid out for all of us. What do you want to talk about today? This is a Flea Flicker Friday, and I'm going to open it up and let you go for it here in a second. But I got to do something really, really quickly. Our sweet daughter, Maggie, who had little Declan, who you guys all prayed for, was in the hospital for 47 days. Maggie made a cute little video last night. Bear with her because her little five-year-old did the videotaping. But Maggie wanted to say thanks to all of you for all your prayers and everything. Go play that real quick for me, Jared, if you could.
Hi. I know this is long overdue, but I really wanted to thank you all for your prayers for Declan here. He's now 3 months old. He's been home for about 6 weeks. I know I'm overdue in saying thank you and expressing our gratitude for your prayers for myself and, of course, him and my husband and our children and my parents. During that difficult pregnancy and delivery and his time recovering at the hospital from his surgery, and even now that we've been home. So the prayers are felt, they're impactful, they are so meaningful, and it just encourages us so much. So I really just want to say thank you, and that he is doing so wonderful. God is good in his mercies and his faithfulness to us, and we just want to show you how cute he is, and that your prayers have meant so much to us. And we wish you a Merry Christmas. And thank you for supporting Pass the Salt and just being an encouragement to my parents and my dad and all that you do for the ministry and the kingdom of God. So, all right.
Mama, show them the reindeer.
Okay. Did you zoom in on them?
Yep.
Fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. So God bless all of you out there who did help bear our burdens through that trial. Well, that was a trial for sure. God's faithful. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. God remains faithful no matter what it is. And always remember this, we spoke about it a little bit yesterday.
Amen.
Scripture says all things work together for good. Doesn't say everything's good. It says all things work together for good. And because we're so, what's the word I'm looking for? Because we're, sorry. Because Christianity has caused us to be so self-centered. It's supposed to be just the opposite, right, friends? We're supposed to die to ourselves. We're not supposed to measure the effectiveness of the Lord on us, on how we live, how happy we are, how good everything is for us. That's not what we're supposed to measure the Lord on. That's all we're supposed to measure our Christianity on. We're supposed to measure our Christianity on how much the Lord's able to work through us. And so therefore, when the scripture says that all things work together for good, it doesn't say everything's good, but it says it's going to make good out of it. Now, it may not be good for you. It may not feel like good for you, but there's a lesson for somebody somewhere in the midst of that. There's a testimony. In order for there to be a testimony, it has to be a test. It has to be a test that you pass, right? So again, we're supposed to have died to ourselves. And we're not real good at that yet. Christianity dying to ourselves, and it's like the modern day gospel is all about me and all about us. Hey, Betty, let's appeal to heaven this morning. Pull that up there for me real quick, Jared, if you could. Who's going to read this prayer for us today? Silver, you want to read it? I hate to call on Silver. Somebody want to read this today? By the way, I think this came from Betty Perkins is the one who brought it to our attention, but I think it's John Diamond. Might be from his book. I don't know exactly. Just trying to give credit wherever credit was due. Who would like to volunteer to pray this prayer for us today? Anybody?
I got you, cuz.
I will. Okay. Okay.
Oh, you go ahead, Julie. You got a better voice.
Julie, you go ahead. Vinny, you just
Go ahead. Go for it, Vinny.
No, go for it, Julie. Go for it.
Okay,
we're wasting time.
Go for it. Okay. Here we go. Good morning. We are appealing to our Lord in heaven. A judgment against the Supreme Court with regard to the forced secularization of America.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Hear our prayer. A judgment against those who are trying to turn America into a socialist nation.
Amen.
Amen. A judgment against Supreme Court for allowing the genocide of the unborn.
Yes, Lord, we want a judgment against them, Lord.
A judgment against the lies of the corporate media.
Oh, Lord, judge them.
A judgment
Jesse Smollett. Judge that Jesse Smollett, Lord. Take him to his knees, Lord.
Every one of them, Lord. A judgment against those in local and federal government who seek to suppress our God-given rights.
Amen, Lord. Break their knees. Break their teeth, Lord.
A judgment against those in America who seek to use the legal system to persecute Christians.
Yes, Lord. The word says that those who dig a pit fall in it, Lord. Let them fall into their own pit that they dug.
Amen. A judgment against the evils of Hollywood.
Lord, it says he who rolls a rock up a hill has a roll back on him. Lord, let that rock of Hollywood, let that roll back on top of those evil producers out there, Lord.
Okay. A judgment against the pornography industry.
Yes, Lord. A judgment against that, Lord. Break their knees, Lord. Kneecap them, Lord. Break that.
A judgment against a godless education system.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, train up a child in the way he should go. Lord, break those who want to put a millstone around the neck of those who want to mislead those little ones, Lord.
Agreeing, yes, in agreement. A judgment against government. Oh, wait, I skipped one. A judgment against those guilty of human sex trafficking.
Amen on that one, Lord. Lord, expose it, the unfruitful works of darkness, Lord, and those who are intimately involved with it, Lord, from the White House to the Lord's house, Lord, expose it all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Judgment against government corruption.
Lord, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Lord, crush them, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. We're taking authority. A restoration of traditional marriage.
Oh, Lord, away with transgenderism, Lord, and gay marriage, Lord, and different types of genders and all of that, Lord, that moral confusion, break that, Lord. Break the teeth of those who are churning that out in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, break every chain. Amen. The complete restoration of our constitutional republic.
Yes, Lord. Lord, yes, Lord. Again, when the righteous are in authority, Lord, raise up righteous men for us, bold, righteous men. The righteous are as bold as lions, Lord. Raise them up in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. The prayer. Vindicate us, Lord, and plead our cause against any ungodly nation. Get justice for us, for our adversaries.
Yes.
Deliver us from deceitful and unjust men.
Yeah.
Cause them to fall into the pit that they have dug for the righteous.
Yes, Lord, they have.
Yes, grant your servants that we may speak your word all boldness.
Yes, Lord.
Give us the boldness like Caleb and Joshua, Lord. Yes, the courage and the boldness. Give us the nations of our inheritance. In the ends of the earth, for our possessions.
It all belongs to you, Lord. Help us to expand your kingdom and take it back, Lord.
That's the truth. In the name and blood of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you, Julie. You earned an A-minus on that today. You did good. You did good. Thanks, Betty. Thanks,
You're
Betty.
May God give all the glory.
Yes, yes. Spencer, Jared, I don't know how we put that. Somebody said, put that in the chat or whatever. I don't know how we email it to everybody what we do with it. But whatever we do, we do. Okay, so listen, hey, what I want to do, Lord. Anybody got a hand up yet? I'm not even looking over there. Let me see. Anybody got a hand up in the air? Go ahead, Reggie. A lot of hands up in the air. I'm sorry. I'm on the right page now. Go, Reggie. I'm sorry.
So this morning, the Lord had me wide awake at 3, and I was just talking to him, and he said, pick up scripture. So after Julie prayed that, I'm smiling because before that prayer came up, I had sent you an email at 3 o'clock.
I read it.
Zephaniah 1. We should at least read Zephaniah 1 because that's this.
I was up at 3:20 myself. Zephaniah 1, Jared. Zephaniah.
I had to read the whole book. It's not long, but God had me read the whole entire book.
Yeah, I was reading it this morning as well, after you sent it to me, of course. I don't know. I'll have to confess to you. I don't think I know one scripture from Zephaniah. I don't know if I've... In fact, when you sent me the message, I thought, is Reggie pulling a trick on me? Is there a book called Zephaniah? Oh, really? That was my thought, right? The word of the Lord came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of, I folks, this is important. See, if we were to go back and really, really study, it would be important who Cushi was and Gedaliah, who was the son of Amariah, who was the son of Hezekiah in the days of Josiah, the son of Am. See, those are all really, really significant things right there, or they wouldn't have put it in there, right? Showing a bloodline there. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I'll consume the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, says the Lord. I'll also stretch out my hand upon Judah, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from his place, from this place, in the name of the Chemarims. With the priests. I don't even know who they are. Biblical ignorance. Anybody know who the Chemarims are? I don't know who they are. And then that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops. And then that worship and that swear by the Lord. That swear by Malcolm. He's talking about people who appear to be believers here.
Coach, which verse is this version? Because I read King James and
this is King James.
I was reading King James. It's because that Malcolm is Baal and Moloch.
Mm.
And it says worship the host, the stars.
Well, what was it? What were Jared? Did you throw something? Did you pull a fast one on me, Jared? King James. Am I doing okay, Reggie?
That's fine. It just was different words, but go ahead.
Okay. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, imminent. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass the days of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. And that same day also I will punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence in deceit. This again, this is not friendship evangelism. This is not your best life now. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. How, you inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down. I wonder what that has to do. I have an idea. All they that bear silver are cut off. Merchants, the merchantile, the thievery going on in the economic system. And it shall come to pass at that time that I'm going to search the church with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. The Lord's just kind of non-involved. Therefore, the good shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but they're not going to live in them. And they shall plant vineyards, but they sure as heck ain't going to drink from them. Man, oh man. The great day of the Lord is near. It's near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, and a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet, an alarm against the fenced cities, against the high towers. And interesting, Washington, D.C. is a fenced city right now, isn't it, friends? Yeah. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they've sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. That could take some dissection, couldn't it, huh? That could. History does, in fact, repeat itself. Come on in, Myra. Reggie, I was up
good
early.
Good morning, Saints.
Hang on. In fact, I was up at 3:20 and got an email from OJ that he was up at 3:33. He sent it to me because that's my time, and it's at 3:33. So a lot of us were being wakened up early this morning. Something going on. Go ahead, Myra. Sorry.
No problem. Good morning, Saints. The prayer Betty had is right on track. Good job, Betty. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Amen. And Reggie, I really appreciate that you share what the Lord told you about Sophia. It's just hits the spot. Thank you so very much. And I just want to concentrate in the goodness of the Lord and give him praise and glory for all he's doing in our nation and in the world.
Amen.
Psalms 145:15, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thank you.
Have Amen. A great day. Folks, listen to this. The Lord just spoke this to me. Wow. I think it was the Lord, Holy Spirit. You know, the Lord's greatest attribute is justice. He's just. In other words, he gives us what we deserve. There's no shadow of turning with him. He's no respecters of persons. We all understand that when we receive Christ, we're forgiven of our sins. But he cannot violate his laws and his nature. That's the greatest quality on him. You can count on him. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never trick you. He'll never lead you down the wrong path. He will issue judgment. He will issue mercy. His name, his word is above his name. Because if his word is no good, his name is no good. And you know what? He loves justice and mercy. But see, he cannot give mercy apart from justice. We should rejoice today that the Lord is going to bring justice. Why? Because he's who he says he is. That we should be able to rest in that the Lord is just, that those who have violated his statutes, saved and unsaved, are going to get their due. They're going to get it. He will bring down. He's going to bring it down, boys and girls. We're going to see it. We're going to see. Alan, come on in. It's awesome, isn't it? It's awesome.
Hey, good morning, Coach. I didn't know if you wanted to hit on Victory News, Kenneth Copeland's news media is finally getting with a Tony Spell situation. And another thing is the peace and security monster that's up at United Nations. Did you see that? The new creature that was designed.
Is that unbelievable? Jared, I don't even know if you could find that. They just put a new statue at the UN yesterday. Folks, if it's not brothers
Coach,
and sisters.
The reason I was bringing that up, if America's not Mr. Babylon, we've missed it because Saudi Arabia don't have the United Nations headquarters. Babylon, Iraq doesn't have the United Nations headquarters. America does.
Yeah. There it is. Folks, they just put that statue. They just put that statue in front of the UN. I don't know whether it's mystery Babylon or whether it's obvious Babylon. I don't know. But something crazy is going on. There's a devil loose, and he is not hiding his intentions, folks. It's right in front of us. Revelation 20:15, is that Jerry? No, not Jerry. I haven't heard from Jerry in a while. Have I heard from Jerry in a while? Revelation 20:15, come in.
Hey, Coach. I just got a question. I think it might be good for discussion for a greater show. But my best friend and landlord, I've been trying to get him saved. And the question that he always falls back on is, why does God allow this to happen? Why does God allow, you know, the child to be kidnapped? If he's, you know, almighty and all powerful, why not just save him?
That's a good question. That is the atheist's number one answer. The atheist would say God is either all good, either not all good, or he's not all powerful. Because if God was all powerful, he would not allow all of this misery. That's the atheist's argument, friends. And unfortunately, my response to that would be, that's the consequence of free will. That's the consequence of free will. If you want to have free will, then this stuff's going to happen. And as we read about yesterday, right, take captive every thought. If we would teach to our children to take captive every thought, this evil stuff wouldn't go on. It wouldn't go on, right? It wouldn't be going on if we taught it to people. But we're not, right? He gave us free will. So that argument falls flat on its face, unless you want to do away with free will, right? Here's what we can know. The Lord is just, and he will get those who do harm. He'll get them. There's a judgment day coming. That's my only answer. I don't know. That's what I would say. Come on in, Jeff. Then Larry.
Coach, one of them fence cities is our schools. The fence around them schools, we got to tear that thing down. Last night I went in. The numbers are dropping off. It's Nice Knox meeting, we had at one time 70 people in there. Last night, we probably had 7. They took the mask off the kids, and the people are going away. They're all happy now.
Gotta stir them up, man. Keep them stirred up.
We stirred them up last night. I just went in and kind of took the gloves off. I mean, I've been reading them scripture and been warning them about stuff. But last night, I used Ezekiel 3:17, about warning the wicked. Oh, yep. My goodness. Did that open a can of worms? And then I ended, and I talked about the school shooting and the kids, stuff going on, and the suicide, the overdose, the drugs, these kids, what's going on with these kids? I ended with the question, because they all told me last month, they all shook their head yes, that they believe in God, they are Christians, they go to the church. So I ended with the question, what are the Christians to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I repeated it. So I walked off. This school teacher jumped up. Man, she showed her true colors. 30-year liberal, God-hating teacher, jumped up and started, da-da-da. She's coming across the room at me and at this other mother. I mean, and I'm sitting there smiling. And that just made her more irritated. So she acted like an ass in front of this school board. And then Pastor Matt, that's president of the board, he finally had to stop him because the other woman in our little crowd, she's arguing back. They were just going at it. And he stopped them all. He said, listen, we're not going to have this in here. And as a pastor, I can't do this. This is not Christ-like. He said, but I'm going to tell you, I agree with Mr. Klein. Oh, my God. Couldn't you imagine what that liberal God-hating teacher thought?
Wow, good for him.
You know what I mean?
See, courage is contagious, folks.
Yeah.
Flush them out. Flush them out, man. Flush them out.
They're talking about this behavior program that's coming, they're putting in. I guess Mount Vernon already did, asking them ridiculous questions, these questionnaires. I got to check this out. But I mean, really ridiculous. So they're going into executive session, I think, to discuss this, whether or not to bring this program in. Because they're women were asking questions about that. They were furious with this. So all of a sudden, they're going into executive session. This young guy on the board comes over to me. I can't remember his name. About 35 years old. And he comes over to me to start telling me how good people are in the school. We got some good people. We got them in place. Blah, blah, blah. I let him talk, and he got just about done. He was getting ready to go off to the executive session. I looked at him and said, answer me this question. You say you got good people in here. I said, do you understand good people go to hell? Oh, he looked at me. I said, you don't understand that, do you? He just had a dumb look on his face. He said, well, I got to get in the meeting. He said, he walked off.
See, good people compromise. See, that's the standard. Good people compromise. Good work, Jeff. Larry, come in. Then Veronica.
Yeah, you know, earlier you said about, you know, God it loves discipline and justice and everything. Well, talking about what the atheists come back with, the next thing they come back with, other than the fairness in their minds of God, is they say, well, your Bible says God is love. God is love. And then that's the opportunity to tell people that the Bible specifically says God disciplines those he loves. And in order to administer discipline, there must be some measure of justice to determine who needs discipline.
Amen. Can't do it. Can't have justice without a standard, can you, Larry? That's what it is. The foundations will be destroyed. What can the righteous do? Hey, Jared, by the way, get the marriage stats ready. Come on in, Veronica, then Dale.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. And thank you for that that little film with Declan. He is fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been praying, like, since Reggie started this, and Reggie, I've been praying for you. These imprecatory psalms, like every day since before Halloween. So my question was regarding them. Like when you go on Psalm 58, it's saying, break their teeth, Lord. And I'm like, yay, break their teeth, Lord. When you go on Psalm 59, verse 11, it says, slay them not. And that really confuses me because I want to slay them.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if anybody had an answer to that. And I'm going to turn me off because I'm trying to save my Wi-Fi, but I figured you want to see me. But thank you.
Slay them not, lest my people forget.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Oh, yeah, keep them as an example. Punish them. Punish them so that the people don't forget. Remember how they used to do it? Remember how
keep
we used
alive.
To do it? Yeah, remember how we used to do a flogging and all that stuff out in the street so people would see exactly what's going on? Let them ever be a remembrance to people of what happens to evil people. That's what I think that means. Don't kill them, Lord, because if you do, the people are going to forget.
Okay.
That's the way I'd read it.
I want to slay them, though. All right.
Yeah, I do too. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride and for cursing and lying, which they speak. Expose. Don't slay them, Lord. Expose them and break their teeth. That's the way I take it. Dale.
So tongue in cheek, going back to this beginning of the scripture. So like Joel Osteen and Jesse Duplantis in these churches, if you read this there, would this be like finding the Dead Sea Scrolls, something that they've never heard before in their sanctuary? I mean, you know what I'm saying, Coach?
Yes.
These things are unknown, unread, and unheard of.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Unknown, unheard, unread, and unbelievable that would be the case, but it is. Janine, then Larry.
Don't slay them. As we look at ourselves before the Lord found us, we were just as wicked as they were. We can ask them to break the teeth, meaning break the bands that they so are holding us, but they may still be able to change and come to the Lord. I doubt it, but there's still a chance. So we don't pray for the death of them. We pray for the conversion and the Lord stop the situations of the wicked. I mean, we were just as wicked before we realized the Lord.
Well, I would agree with that, Janine, to a point. And here's why I don't agree with it. There's a difference between someone who is a sinner and someone who is a worker of iniquity. Those are not the same thing. A sinner is someone who, we know what a sinner is, right? Someone hasn't been saved by grace. They're just living off their carnal nature.
Well, a sinner but then, is.
But then there's the worker of iniquity who in their sin tries to get others to participate in it as well and promotes the sin. That is a worker of iniquity rather than just an evildoer. Those aren't the same. In my mind, those are not the same thing. I think Nancy Pelosi is, what is she? She is a worker of iniquity. She's not just blind.
What about the pastors then that are promoting ungodly biblical foundations?
Well, that's an entirely different thing because they are held to an even higher standard, right?
But they're still working in iniquity, right?
They're workers of iniquity. That's right. That's right. They know better. John 10:10, somebody put in there. Yeah. Listen, folks, here's what's hard for us. We don't have the mind of Christ. We don't understand justice, sin, punishment, grace, forgiveness, how the Lord filters all that. We don't get all that stuff. We don't get all of it. But we're saying, Lord, if I was you, break their teeth. Would you do that? That's what I'd do, Lord. I'd break their teeth. But we know that you love justice and mercy as well. So it's a balancing act. And it's hard. Keith, come in.
It sounds like a meat sandwich to me. Getting some meat today.
Yeah, it's a meat sandwich. Put a little mustard mayo in it. Chew that thing. Put a piece of cheese on it. It's a meat sandwich. Hey, friends, listen. It's okay for us to say to one another, you know, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. Lord, show me what that means. I don't get it. Again, it's the reverse atheist argument, isn't it? Lord, do you mean you could crush him and you won't? What? I thought you're all powerful and all good. Why won't you crush him? It's the reverse atheist argument. We don't know, man. We don't know. Kevin, come on in. And James.
You were talking about compromise a little bit earlier, and actually when I did my radio show yesterday when I messaged you, that actually came up when I was on my radio show about compromise. We have compromised and compromised and compromised. We've compromised this earth. We've compromised our way to hell.
Yeah.
And something else that the other lady just said, it wasn't until we love our children. We love our children so much. But it wasn't until I laid my daughter, my oldest daughter, on the feet of the Lord and said, do what your will is. I pray, Lord, whatever you have to do, do what your will is. Just don't take her life.
Yeah.
And he did. He did. So in the process of that, of course, she is so on fire and she's done so wonderful. So it was the fear of laying our child, that sacrifice, just as Abraham did with Isaac.
Because Kevin, truth be told, most of us really, really compromise in the raising of our children. It's hard, man. It's hard.
It is hard. So until I could let go, until I could say, Lord, okay, here she is. Whatever you have to do to bring her around, do what your will is. That's what the prayer says. Do thy will. I pray, Lord, though, that you just don't take her life.
Amen. Amen, Kevin. We're with you on that. Hey, Kevin, how about that commentary from 2012? Was that something, brother? Was that something?
I love it. Over 9 years ago. And I don't want to call you a prophet, but you know what, babe? Wow. You're my brother in Christ. The things that you have been blessed upon, the prophetic things that you, I started listening to you and following you probably about 2009 or 10. It was right after Obama got in. So,
yeah.
you were hitting it. You didn't even know it. So
I didn't even know it. I saved that today. I may share it. Thanks, Kevin. James, come on in. Then Bernie. James, got you, man. Bernie, we got you.
Forgive me. I hit the wrong button.
Okay. There you go. Go ahead, James.
Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit in me, says the scripture.
Amen.
And if we abide in him, he can abide in us, and we can ask him for anything, and he will surely give it to us. What I've been asking him for is discernment, wisdom. He shows it. When I go into places, Lord, show me who your children are, and even show me who aren't, so that I know who to pray for, who to engage in, and who to pray against.
Who to trust.
And who to trust in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
you know. So it's working. He mm-hmm. answers. He's faithful. He's not going to let us fall.
No,
not going to leave us and forsake us.
Remember, the Ten Commandments. The commandments are a great expression of love. They're not an expression of restraint, although they are of restraint. The purpose of them is love. If you follow these, your life's going to be good. It's a great example of love, and we've made them burdensome. Isn't that what the word says? Is that his precepts are not burdensome? So, I'm paraphrasing. They're not burdensome. They're protective. They're protective. Bernie.
Okay, Coach. Just, you know, we were talking about how, you know, the atheists like to throw out the thing, but why is there evil in the world? Well, what is their answer to it? They don't have, they always throw out these things, but they don't feel like they have to answer their own questions either. Okay, so you got to push them to that point. So what does that mean? Is everything just blind and meaningless, or is there actual meaning in this world?
Well, Bernie, here's what they'll do, Bernie. They'll take this Jesse Smollett issue, right? And they'll justify the lying and the racism. They'll justify it. That's what they do. See, folks, sin can never be justified. It can never be justified. And they always want to justify it. And then they want to call us names if we don't agree with their justification or a compromise with it, right? Will Jesse Smollett, do you have any idea the damage he did? Do you have any idea how much money he cost? Will he pay it all for that? No, because you know why? They'll use the excuse, well, that may not have happened to Jesse Smollett, but it's probably happening everywhere else. That's the excuse they always fall back on, see? We let him get away with that. Listen,
we should be more secure in our position. All right. That wouldn't bother us if we weren't so insecure.
The President of the United States, justified what Jesse Smollett did. The Vice President of the United States did. They should be held account for that. Will they be held account? No, they won't be. Certainly won't be. Chad,
yes,
come on in.
It's coming.
Oh, yeah, they will. They will be. They will be.
All right.
Chad, and then Rochelle.
Okay, right along the same. Another counter answer to that, the atheist or whatever the non-believers saying about would there be good in this world if God wasn't the truth? There would be no justice here. There is good, and there is some justice. And if there wasn't God, then you wouldn't have those things.
But see, Chad, that's the battle. They change the meaning of good. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. See, so some will say, well, Jesse Smollett. See, they're going to say now that Jesse Smollett, see what happens to a black guy? See him? The courts cheat. He's black. They found him guilty. Look what happened to that white boy. That white boy, they killed people. See how the game's played, right? See, that's what is going on. I was watching a video of this morning, crazy, I was up early. O.J. Simpson. How did O.J. Simpson ever get off? How could that possibly have ever happened? It's unbelievable. Come on in, Rochelle.
Happy Friday. Good morning, team.
Yeah.
So with the question on why does God allow evil? You know, I use the rotten banana. Or, you know, from when they say, how can there be a God? Well, you don't look at a rotten banana and say, I don't believe that's not a banana. Yeah, that was a perfectly good banana at one point. It has been corrupted, and now it's mushy, gross slime. But it doesn't mean that there wasn't once a perfectly good banana. You know, right. So the proof that there is corruption is proof that something had to be corrupted.
Look at the banana, huh?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That banana was fearfully and wonderfully made, wasn't it? Then it got corrupted.
Yeah, and I thought something kind of cool in Revelation 18, it goes through this complete list of merchandise. It's when Babylon, it's talking about Babylon, right? And it goes through this list of merchandise. And it just, when I go through it, it's ringing of the temple. But it's showing you how Babylon counterfeits the real thing. It counterfeits the true church. So, you know, you read through all of this merchandise in Babylon and you've got gold and silver and stones, and it connects. Your gold is righteousness and silver is redemption, and stones represent the holy city. And it said pearls, and those are the gates of the city. And it says linen, and the priest wear the linen. And it goes through this whole thing. Woods, the special wood for the temple. Ivory, which is also in the palace. Bronze is on the altar. Iron, everything it names is also in the temple. It might say it differently, like it said it named wheat, flour, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's the same as bread, which is fake fellowship. It names all the animals, which are a blessing. It names the chariots, which are power. It names the slaves, which are wealth, I guess. I don't know how they look at it. But my point was, they counterfeit everything.
They do. In fact, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, folks. We are the temple. Now, I don't want to get into this debate about the third temple. We're the temple. We are the temple, right? We are the temple not made by hands. That's us. That's us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to get into it. Don't comment. Bernie, come on, and then I want to go someplace else. Go ahead, Bernie. Your hand's still up anyway.
I didn't know my hand was still up.
Oh, all right, buddy. Okay, so pull that up. Wait a minute, Jared, hang on. This was one of the most staggering statistics I've ever found in my life. I'm sitting around. Betty Perkins was still here, I think. Or maybe she had just left. Betty was we were with Betty. Had a good time with Betty yesterday. Anyway, I about choked on my carrot. Only 18% of American households are families with married parents. Folks, let that sink in a second. If I were the devil and I was going to destroy America, this will make our friend JR jump up and squeal, I would attack a home. Children need a mother and a father, a context that more American youth than ever are lacking. Among the 130 million households in the United States, only 17.8 feature married parents with children, down from 40% in 1970. Is that freaking unbelievable, friends? We're in a different America, see? We're in a different America. There are currently just 23.1 million American homes that are nuclear families. Out of all the families, there's only 23 million nuclear families, which is the fewest since 1959. The reasons given for the drop include the pandemic delaying marriage and the continual decline in the birth weight. Hang on here, devil's after the children. The average age of a woman at her first marriage is now 28.6 years. You get that? The average woman's getting married at 28. Can I tell you why? Because there ain't nothing wrong with screwing around anymore, boys and girls. Huh? Used to be the time you wanted, those hormones got churning on you. You got married so you could exercise it. Well, you don't have to anymore. Now women are 28 years old before they get married. In the 1950s and 60s, women typically married at 20.4 years. Are you guys sitting down? Are you understanding the significance of this? The average age for men to marry for the first time in 2021 was 30 and a half years. You listening, Jared? 30 and a half years. America's fertility rate dropped to 55.4 births per 1,000 in the second quarter of 2021, down from 58.5 in the same period in 2019. Americans are also living alone at a higher rate than they used to. The percentage of adults in the U.S. living with the spouse was 50% down from 52% 10 years ago. Today, over 37 million adults live alone in early 2021, up from 33 million in 2011. As far back as 1960, 87% of adults lived with a spouse. Folks, do you see this? Do you see that? Oh, my goodness. Analysts and commentators pointed toward declining rates of religiosity. It's a nice word of saying Christianity and going to church, right? higher living expenses, the permutation of LGBTQ, stick it wherever you want to stick it, ideology, and even climate alarmism to explain the erosion of the American family. Indeed, the United States economy is already feeling pressure from the nation's demographic crisis, for example, through the looming insolvency of Social Security. I think one of the biggest risks to civilization is the low birth rate. Folks, when's the last time you went to church and heard your pastor talk about the need to have babies? Huh? Anybody remember the last sermon they heard on that? On the need to have babies? And yet so many people, including smart people, think that there are too many people in the world. They think that population, is growing out of control. It's completely the opposite, says Elon Musk. People look at the numbers. If people don't have more children, civilization is going to crumble. Mark my word. Emma, come on in. Come on in, Emma.
What?
Emma, stop. Do you want to get in, Emma? Who wants to try to get in? Who's trying to get in? Go ahead. Go ahead, Emma.
It's Tom, or else it's Emma with a bad cold.
Okay, Tom.
Hey, we talk about being programmed to things by Hollywood. Most of us grew up, or a lot of us grew up, in the 60s watching shows like Bonanza, Andy Griffith, My Three Sons.
Father Knows Best.
Yeah, if you look, they were all households without mothers.
Yep.
That was when there was practically no divorce, or very little. But we were being programmed to believe in the one parent family.
Nobody was married in Andy Griffith. Nobody. Maybe Otis the Drunk. Maybe.
No.
But nobody in that family was married. Petticoat Junction. We could go on and on and on and on, couldn't we?
We were being programmed.
Was Jed Clampett married? Ellen A? Jethro?
No.
Granny?
No.
Nope. And now they tell us there's global warming, and they tell us that that there's overpopulation and we don't have enough food. And what are they doing? They're cutting off our food supply so it'll look like they're prophetic, right?
Yeah.
Got to get rid of all these people. Man, oh, man, oh, man.
All right,
amen. Anybody else on that one? I got another one up here I want to pull up here. No? Okay, quickly. I've done it again. Okay, go ahead, Penny, quickly. Go ahead. I didn't mean quickly. Go ahead, Penny.
Yeah, I just heard that China is limiting their vasectomies right now because of their population.
Mm. So they want to start having children again, are inducing a new regulation meant to decrease the cost of living for couples with children. Nice real estate experience. Your families can afford homes. Yada, yada, yada. Jeff Klein, go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, I like that about the banana. If you leave that banana lay on that stove long enough, that soft and mushy stage it gets to, that's the Christian. They've laid her out and become soft and mushy like a banana.
That's where we are. There we are. And yes, Bob put in the chat, we see another football player, 33-year-old football player, dropped dead. Just a coincidence, I suppose. Just a coincidence. Hey, pull up Communist Golds for me real quick, Jared. Always trying to reconnect dots here, folks. Always trying to double back. Go down quite a ways, Jared, about halfway through this commentary. Right there. Start right there, brother. Go back up a little bit, Jared. Here, okay. Here are some of the 45 goals of communism named in this book. They just put a statue at the UN, right? Number 11, promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. The UN charter is rewritten, demand that it be set up as a one world government. Number 13, capture one or both of the political parties. Somebody go ding, 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 ding when this has happened, okay? Ding, 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 ding. And you know, sadly, we don't even recognize it. The average person doesn't even recognize. Penny, I'll be right with you. How about number 17, get control of the schools? Can somebody ding out there? Ding, 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 ding. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. 20, infiltrate the press. Ding, 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 ding. Are they writing about Jesse Smollett this morning? No, no. Hey, is Don Lemon going to get fired? We now know that Don Lemon was conspiring with Jesse Smollett. And not only that, that Don Lemon has been sexually harassing men at work. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is he going to lose? No, 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 no. They're not going to do that. Number 21, how about the gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures? Ding, 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 ding. Continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. Ding, 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 ding. 23, our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. We just saw one of those go up at the UN, didn't we? Ding, 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 ding. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling it censorship and a violation of free speech. And so now we have pornography, free speech, Christianity, not free speech, right? Ding. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenities in books and magazines and school libraries, right, Jeffy? School libraries, put them in there.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Ding, 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 ding. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch.
Ding.
Ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding. Huh? So they played the long game on us, didn't they? They played the long game on us. And look at where we are. So here's it. Oh, wait, one more. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression into schools on the grounds that it violates the principle of separation in church and state. Yeah, you see how lawyers accomplished this goal in a very short 4 years from publication of the book, The Naked Marxist, accompanied by the evil one using Madeline Murray O'Hare, a secular humanist who called herself an atheist.
FCAs.
FCAs. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, folks. So as we double back, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? This is where we got to tighten our belt and earn our meal money. Because our job is what? Do we roll over and let them have it? Or do we become more bold, more, dare I use the term, aggressive in our actions, stand up and speak up? I'm opening my mouth more. I'm finding more opportunities to poke the bear, not less. I'm not cowering at all. I'm on the offensive. We need to do that, friends. It's something that we've been talking about with the ChristianRevolution.net. Why are we cowering? Why are we hiding? Why don't we stand up boldly and say, this is the way it's going to be. This is what I believe. And I don't care what you believe. This is what I believe. What happened to that? World's in chaos, right? By the way, we're getting this thing all set up for Celebrate Lib Freedom Day. Man, we need you, folks. We're going to need you to help organize this thing. It's going to be unbelievably great. Come on in, Larry, then Joe, then Jeff.
Yeah, what are we going to do? We're going to do what the word tells us. We are going to expose the evil works of darkness. Amen. And that is going to open us up for the hatred and the actions that the enemy is going to take against us, and many of us will be martyred because of that exposure.
Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, Larry. That's what we got to do. Hey, you're going to be hated of all men. That's the old gospel. That's not the new one. No, but you're going to be hated of all men. That's right. I hated him first, right? Think not that I came to bring peace. I didn't come to bring peace, he said. I came to bring a sword. Yeah, I brought a sword. It's going to be your enemies. It's going to be those of your own household. It's going to be mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, son-in-law. What? It's right in the daggone scriptures. Wow. Joe, come in then, Jeff.
Well, I believe in prayer, Coach.
Say it again.
I believe in prayer just like everybody else. But in these times, should we bring the guild team back? For people like George Soros.
They're bringing it back for us, aren't they? Huh? Yep.
Should we bring this guild team back?
Mm. Come on in, Jeff.
Yeah, I found out on the First Amendment case, it was a World War One act called the Espionage Act. And this couple of, did some flyers, and they got persecuted by the federal government for using free speech. And the judge coincided with the government to force them to punish for that. And also yesterday, I got an argument with a father, and because the child, I said hi, and I this and that, but he was so stone cold, and I referenced to his the outside influence made him so angry and bitter. Matthew 24, people's hearts will grow cold, and lawlessness shall abound. And the father came over and started cussing me out. It's just amazing how.
Are you surprised?
It's not surprise. It just tells you the fact that what we're experiencing, the Bible is true. Thank you.
So, Jack McCarthy, this is a good one, isn't it? Huh. How come Bill Clinton hasn't testified in the Maxwell trial? How many times did he ride on that plane? And nobody's interested in what old Billy saw on that plane? Nobody's interested in that? Yeah, Jack, where are those feminist groups demanding that Bill testify? Oh, good question. Good question. 26 times, Bobby Lee says. Huh. That'd be interesting to find out. Jack says, call your senator and say, how come he's not testifying? Huh? How come they're not testifying? Don Voss, come on in.
Coach, the reason that Bill isn't testifying is because in the interest of national security, you understand.
Yeah. He, and from what I understand, Bill's done a lot of probing into the subject, right? He's done a lot of probing. So maybe we'll know here at some point. Paul Webb, come in.
Hey, Coach, one other question I'd ask on that trial is, what happened to all those young girls? What
Where are they?
Where are they? Yeah. Only hey, four Paul, of them are suing.
Yes. Where are the feminists? Where are the feminists?
Where are they? I smell a dirty rat.
I smell a rat. Come on in, Bernie and Dale.
Yeah, Coach. I hadn't read about that. Somebody trying to bring the guillotine back, but I always, said that's the Committee of Public Safety that ran the guillotine. So when people say safety first, I'm like, you better rethink that.
You better think about it, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Epstein was at the Clinton White House 17 times. Bill rode on the plane 26, and Epstein was at the White House 17 times. But Bill Clinton is not a qualified witness, I guess. Come on in, Dale.
Yeah, brother. At least in the Jesse Smollett case, the criminal and justice was served there, right? I mean, at least in his case, there was some justice served. The criminal got charged.
That's right. they got the criminal. Bobby Lee.
Two times referencing the guillotine. Now I can't control myself. It's already back. There's a billing code, a medical billing code to be reimbursed financially for every head chopped off. That's a fact. So we got thousands of guillotines standing by nationwide for whoever operates it to be medically.
Bobby, you're a conspiracy theorist. Bobby's a conspiracy. Thanks, Bobby. Hey, don't forget Pennsylvania Brett and Bobby and those guys and Gary. They're having a training out in Pennsylvania this weekend on shortwave radios, all that stuff. Michelle's having her wonderful, wild, wonderful, wicked whim, whatever that thing is. She's having it here at Sky High. I'm speaking tomorrow in Medina, Ohio at 8:30, I think it is. I think that's all on the list. A lot of stuff going on. That's why I love my job. I love my job because I look out, I'm a coach, I look out on the field and our boys are playing. We got boys playing everywhere. Jeff Klein's probably stirring up something somewhere tomorrow. Stirring something up, yeah.
Monday night, I got a training center going on. Monday night at 6 o'clock, Mount Vernon High School. Come to our training center right at the board meeting.
Oh, the school board meeting. That's right, man, huh? What was that song? The marching band refused to yield. Do you recall what was revealed the day? Music died. I'm singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Let's get back in the game, folks. We are advancing the kingdom of God. Have a great weekend. See you Monday morning.